Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
A stunner in Obama's Waterloo.
Tonight, I honor the memory, and I pledge to be the very best and try to be a worthy successor to the late Senator Kennedy.
He's now Republican Senator-elect Scott Brown of Massachusetts, and no doubt Ted Kennedy is doing some gymnastics in his grave this morning. The Democrats lose in Watertown and Waterloo. No more 60 votes in the Senate. Brown, it's the new bleak for Obama on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. It's January 20th, and The Takeaway is, wow, is that message from Massachusetts a message from or to America? 1 year after Barack Obama was inaugurated. Good morning, I'm John Hockenberry. Miles O'Brien is up there in New York, in for Celeste Headlee. Good morning, Miles.
Good morning, John. Let's get right to the top stories we're following this morning. The Massachusetts Senate seat, held almost exclusively by a Kennedy for the last 50 years, has fallen into Republican hands. Scott Brown defeated Democrat Martha Coakley in a special election for Ted Kennedy's old Senate seat in what could be a devastating blow to President Obama's domestic agenda.
Tonight, the independent majority has delivered a great victory.
Independent majority. Let's explore that with Emily Rooney, host of WGBH's Greater Boston, joining us live from Boston. Emily, good morning, and holy moly, what the heck happened in Massachusetts?
You got that right, John. Holy moly. And I just think it goes to show you that Massachusetts voters don't like to be told how they're going to vote.
And that was part of the issue, but is there anything about what the Massachusetts voters delivered to Scott Brown that's generalizable nationally to Barack Obama?
You know, I don't think it – I know that's the spin everybody's putting on it, but Massachusetts has voted Republicans in important places many times in the past, and certainly in the governor's office, not in the delegation for many, many years, but – I think it was time. I think it was part of the cycle, and Massachusetts has its own health care plan, and I think a lot of voters looked at it and said, we don't need some expensive national plan. We've got our own. Let the states do what we've done.
Well, the takeaway there from Emily Rooney is the Obama administration, at the very least, should have known what was possible there. Emily Rooney, stay with us. We'll be back with you in just a moment. Meanwhile, in Haiti, U.S. troops are dropping onto the lawn of Haiti's presidential palace. Those helicopters are now guarding food and aid distribution sites while UN security forces patrol the devastated city of Port-au-Prince, trying to keep order. USAID Chief Raj Shah says more medical help is on its way this morning.
The USS Comfort will arrive. That is a major hospital and medical facility with the capacity to work with 1,000 patients.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates says he's sending more ships to help with the earthquake recovery.
Meanwhile, a ceremony was held at UN headquarters in New York last night at the exact time the earthquake struck last week. At least 47 UN workers were killed in the earthquake. Authorities in Haiti say they've buried 70,000 bodies so far. And the American Heart Association says this morning there are seven secrets to a long life. Don't smoke, exercise, eat healthy, keep your cholesterol, blood pressure, and blood sugar in check, and keep a slender physique. The group says most 50-year-olds who do this can live another 40 years free of stroke and heart disease. Asian and European markets are down this morning. Futures are down as well. The Dow gets underway at 10,725. The S&P opens at 1,150. NASDAQ at 2320.
So what's salt good for? Mayor Mike Bloomberg says absolutely nothing, and he wants New Yorkers to cut down on their salt intake. Is salt really so bad? We're going to answer that tasty question in our food segment. But a year later, everyone is evaluating President Barack Obama's year-old presidency. The voters in Massachusetts maybe are evaluating it, too. What do you think?
We love Obama. He's a great neighbor. You just have to give it some time. Give it some time.
You know how to reach us. How is Obama doing? 877-8-MY-TAKE or send an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org. Coming up, the Massachusetts Senate race.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry down here in Washington, D.C., a very interesting place to observe the one-year anniversary of Barack Obama's inauguration. It's warm here in Washington, very, very cold a year ago, but politically it's probably much colder than it was for Barack Obama when he was inaugurated. Miles, good morning up there in New York.
Good morning, John. How are the mood in Washington? Must be rather tense, I think.
Well, the mood all over the country. Let me tell you, I was in the West Wing last night, and there was a literally ashen-faced Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi coming over to the West Wing late in the evening as the returns and the exit polls were sort of declaring the worst or suggesting the worst was happening up in Massachusetts. So it was a very, very interesting place to be, a fly on the wall at the White House yesterday.
You were hanging out at the White House, huh? Not bad.
Yeah, I was hanging out at the White House yesterday. It was a good day for it, I have to say. Emily Rooney rejoins us now, host of WGBH's Greater Boston. She's on the line from Boston. Emily, good morning.
Good morning, John.
And we are thrilled to have Kathleen Hall Jamison this morning, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. She's also co-author of Presidents Creating the Presidency. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, John.
So, Kathleen, let me just ask you one quick question here. I want to talk about who Scott Brown is with Emily in a moment. But if Barack Obama hadn't focused so much on, number one, health care, number two, on this 60-vote majority in the Senate that he absolutely needed, and maybe paid a little more attention to Massachusetts, this would not be that big of a story, right, Kathleen?
Well, it's not Barack Obama's job to pay attention to Massachusetts. It's his job to pay attention to the nation. But if he'd focused more or had the perception of focusing more on economy and jobs, more importantly, if those numbers in both were better, this probably would have been a different election regardless of health care.
Well, let's listen to the voice of Scott Brown talking about who does this Senate seat in Massachusetts belong to. He's the Republican senator-elect from Massachusetts speaking last night declaring victory.
I will remember that while the honor is mine, this Senate seat belongs to no one person, no one political party. And as I said before, and you've heard it today, and you'll hear it loud and clear, this is the people's seat.
The people's seat. Emily Rooney, what's he talking about there?
Well, I have to say that rang loud and clear. That line came out of a debate, the final televised debate of about 10, 12 days ago. And it was the line that got picked up and the statement heard around the world. It was clearly a backlash to the Kennedy, the notion that this is a seat that belonged to the Kennedy family, had been in the Kennedy family for 50 years. No one really believed that. And I think the idea that Martha Coakley was some kind of an obvious legacy candidate was nonsense to most people. She wasn't. She ran a lackluster campaign. There was definitely, in my opinion, gender backlash, especially at the end. And Scott Brown ran away with this after the gun went off January 4th, and he ran away with it just in the last 15 days.
So is he suddenly a new star in the GOP in New England, or is he just someone who happened to benefit from something that was kind of a tectonic shift taking beneath the Earth's crust?
It's kind of funny. A lot of us knew him through his wife, Gail Huff, who's a reporter at the ABC affiliate in Boston. In fact, I hired Gail Huff, so I knew her pretty well. We knew Scott socially, and he came up through the ranks, and he actually won kind of an interesting Senate seat a few years ago, but he was very low-key. Look, all the Republicans in Massachusetts are low-key. There's only a handful of state senators that are Republican, and very few people knew even who he was. And the primary was only December 8th. So he had very little time to get his name out there at all. He's a very attractive candidate. He had a terrific presence during the few debates that there were. And Martha Coakley insisted on including Joseph L. Kennedy, who is the Tea Party / Libertarian candidate. And it kind of marginalized her presence in some of these debates. And Scott ran away with them.
Interesting. Well, with everything that Emily Rooney is saying up there in Boston, Kathleen Hall Jamison, it really does seem that this plays to some sort of character flaw within the Obama administration. How would you possibly take your eye off of this unless you were sort of stuck in the policy weeds of the healthcare debate?
I think one of the important things to remember is that Brown didn't run as a Republican. He ran as an independent. And that line that you played that said not any political party is important, if he's true to that identity, he's coming to Washington not representing the Republicans who are standing there eagerly waiting for him to vote lockstep against Barack Obama. As Obama looks at this, I think he ought to hope that the campaign that Brown won is going to forecast not the votes that he cast as the state senator, but rather the rhetoric of a campaign that forecasts an independent candidacy in Washington, or independent president in Washington.
Do you think this connects directly to the Democratic reversal in Virginia earlier last year?
I think it does, because the rhetoric of the continuity between the reversal in Virginia, New Jersey, and this is suggesting that each was a referendum on Barack Obama. And to the extent that Brown was campaigning as an independent voice, I think what you see potentially is that this was an argument that Obama has lost independence. We see that certainly in the voting totals. He also lost them in he or the representative candidate of his party lost them in Virginia and lost them in New Jersey. That's the worrisome sign for Barack Obama. He won them. He won them overwhelmingly in the presidential election. He has to win them back in order to improve his fortunes for not only 2010 but re-election.
Well, that is a fabulous takeaway, Kathleen Hall Jamison, and I can't resist asking the question to Emily Rooney. So does Barack Obama, who called, I believe, Scott Brown last night, does he have a chance in the netherworld, shall we say, to win Scott Brown's vote for health care and make him number 60 as an independent?
No, I think he has very little chance. But keep in mind to what the point that Kathleen Hall Jamison made, Scott Brown was forced to run as an independent. He is a Republican, but forced to run as an independent because he was not embraced by the National Republican Party, who basically said their support was a waste of time and money. They didn't get into this until the last few days. So I suppose by some friendly reaching across the aisle, Barack Obama has as good a chance as any of embracing him in Congress, because the Republicans did not.
And do we know where he stands on the health care?
Yeah, we know where he stands. He says he will not vote for it. He said that he really made the core. He said, I'm going to be the 41st vote against it. He's the 41st senator to vote against it. He has made that clear all along.
And that's why, even though the temperature is in the 40s and 50s down here in Washington, it's a very, very chilly place for the Obama administration this morning. Emily Rooney, thanks as always, host of WGBH's Greater Boston, on the line from Boston. And, of course, Kathleen Hall Jamison, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Thanks so much. So coming up, how do you think the president is doing? Was yesterday's election in Massachusetts a referendum on President Obama? Let's hear from you independents out there. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment on our website, thetakeaway.org. Okay, 15 minutes after the hour, let's check on some of the headlines we're following.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates says he's sending more ships to help with earthquake recovery in Haiti. One of those ships will help clear Haiti's main port of debris that's preventing larger ships from docking. Meanwhile, at the airport in Haiti, U.S. Major General Dan Allen says two more airstrips will be open to provide more opportunities for aid delivery.
We will begin to use two alternate aerial ports of entry within the next 24 to 48 hours.
Meanwhile, back home, the New York Times calls it an extraordinary upset. Ted Kennedy's former Senate seat has gone to Republican Scott Brown, who garnered 52% of the vote. In Virginia, police are on the hunt for a man who they say killed 8 people yesterday. Authorities say they have the suspect surrounded in a wooded area. They say he's already tried to shoot down a police helicopter.
Two sort of lifestyle stories. First of all, the average young American now spends more than 7.5 hours a day using electronic devices, and that doesn't include the nearly 2 hours spent texting and talking on their cell phones. I'd say that's a low estimate for our producer, Jim Colgan. It's more like probably 12 hours for him. But the study is from the new Kaiser, or is a new study from the Kaiser Family Foundation, and this from South Korea. Government workers there are being ordered to go home early today to encourage them to conceive more babies. South Korea has one of the lowest birth rates in the world, and the government has made increasing the population a priority. The experiment will be repeated every month. Those are some of the stories we're following this morning. What do you think of that, Miles?
Can I volunteer to participate in the experiment? Why not?
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MYTAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.